All right, closer, taking it in Sarah, gang. We are live now on the line with us, calling in from the Big Easy, New Orleans, one of my favorite towns in America, the incredible Sandy Sachs. Hey, Sandy, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so good to have you here. We were talking, you and I, offline, but now we need to bring it online. Girl Bar started when? What year?
Technically, it started in 1989 at the back bar of Revolver, if you remember the original Revolver.
Yes, the original.
In West Hollywood, the original, where I was actually managing with Robin. And we started to do Girl Bar in the back bar. Like, you know, we used to let the girls in and come in, and it was a small, tiny bar, if you remember.
That little
bar.
Tequila bar almost there,
yes,
at the backside of the Revolver.
Right, the tequila bar. And we said, you know, hey, let's do some girls, and why not? There's nothing really happening. And we'd cram in everybody there. And then we said, you know, this is just crazy, because we used to do Thursday nights, and it was so busy that we moved it to take over the whole bar on a Wednesday night. Well, you know, we were doing that for about a year, less than a year, when Scott Forbes, of course, of the famed Studio One, came over to Revolver and said, you know, wow, this is really incredible. And coming from him, we thought that was great, because we'd always heard how much he really disliked women. So here he was saying, came over to us and he said, why don't you come over and do this at my place? And we were like, whoa, unbelievable. So we actually did. We moved Girl Bar from Revolver over to the back lot of Studio One in November of 1990.
And so, you know, I mean, a lot of people in Southern California are familiar with the story of Sandy Sachs and Dr. Robin Ganz, but for people around the country, they may not be. You were pretty radical at the time, because I think you two were the first two official lipstick lesbians.
We actually were, believe it or not.
Yeah,
There was a writer for the LA Times that I believe it was like 91 or 92, actually coined the phrase lipstick lesbian, because, you know, she
lesbian
came and she came and she saw, you know, she came to the back lot and saw what we were doing, and we had go-go dancers, which, by the way, we were picketed for by our own community, saying that we were objectifying women, and you know, which we really didn't feel we were. You know, we just gave it, you know, they were scantily clad, but nothing nude, and we hired real dancers, and it was just, you know, it was just eye candy and energy. So she came in and did an interview and coined the phrase. Her name was Lindsay Van Gelder. Look her up. She used to write for the LA Times. And from that article started a barrage of talk shows, because, you know, all of a sudden now this lipstick lesbian, what is that kind of thing, started out of this article. And Robin and I ended up doing like six talk shows, six or seven or eight. I mean, I lost count, to be honest with you. It was insane.
Yeah, and you were all presenting an alternative presentation of what lesbianism was. Not to say that the masculine butch dyke was bad or didn't exist.
Right, but was the stereotype.
That was the stereotype, right.
Right, and we just sort of broke the stereotype, which was what, you know, people were like, wow, what's going on here? So I think that's why it piqued interest.
Yeah. You know, I think the comparison for gay men is the Tom of Finland presentation, because prior to that, the whole stereotype was effeminate gay man, effeminate, lisping,
right,
with a boa,
right,
colorful paisley
limp-wristed.
Not to say that wasn't true. That was true. But there were alternative presentations, the hyper-masculine, muscular, and all of a sudden we were able to expand what the meaning of, you know, gay male looked like. And I think that Girl Bar did the exact same thing for women.
We did. You know, we just sort of, we opened up a different door to let people know that, you know, that lesbians come in all, you know, forms and shapes and sizes, not just the one that they have a picture of.
Right. I forgot about the picketers, but when you said it, I remembered.
Gosh,
then
yeah.
I remembered because there were, I remember women in our community who said that any objectification of the body was, and men, there were some men too, but I mean, primarily women, that, you know, porn was bad and that go-go dancers, bad. And meanwhile,
right.
I mean,
but, you know, we were just doing what the crowd wanted. I mean, clearly, if our crowd, if the women were objecting to it, you know, clearly we would have stopped doing it. But they actually loved it. And we became famous for our go-go dance.
I love that.
I mean, to the point where, I mean, you know, we became the spot where, like, Madonna and Janet Jackson and everybody would come to get their dancers, and then they'd end up stealing them. So, you know, Madonna came in twice, you know, and took a couple of our dancers and took them on the road.
I love that.
We were proud of the fact that, you know, we actually had, you know, trained dancers, and they were just there to sort of, you know, as I said earlier, add a little eye candy and more than anything, just sort of energy. You know, they added sort of energy to the room.
Gang, when we come back, we'll be talking more to Sandy Sachs, calling in from New Orleans about lipstick lesbians here on Channel Q. Incredible Tracy Chapman, Fast Car. Another lesbian, maybe not a lipstick lesbian, but another lesbian. Sandy, you're still there with us?
But see, that's the thing. We come in all forms.
Yeah, exactly. That was the whole point. I mean, people forget, 89, when you started this, it was 20 years after Stonewall. Stonewall had happened in 69. 79, you know, we were at the height of Studio One, and then HIV and AIDS hit everywhere in the 80s. And then out of all that, I think that was the next step for the community was continuing to unfold itself and break down stereotypes and myths about our people.
Can you imagine that it was only 20 years after Stonewall, and now we're looking, I mean, next year in November in 2020 will be Girl Bar's 30th anniversary.
Unbelievable. And it'll be 50.
Yeah, I think
50.
We might hang up our dancing shoes after that one and leave it to the younger crowd.
You know, Sandy, I was telling listeners earlier, I went to the Studio One farewell, and I was out on the dance floor dancing to disco, and I looked across the room, and here's all these gray-haired men with wrinkled eyes and wrinkled faces, and we're making eye contact with each other without saying a word, just acknowledging, like, we survived. We're here. We're here. We're still
that's
here.
Right. And, oh, that's true.
Yeah. Now, granted,
that's
true. We wrapped up the dancing before midnight, but we were having a good time out there.
We're doing our own farewell on December 7th.
And what's that about? Tell people about that.
So what that's about, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I have been in that building. Girl Bar was in that building from 1990 until I sold it in 2010 to buy the Bourbon Pub and Parade, which is also another iconic gay men's bar here in New Orleans, which, by the way, opened the same year that Studio One opened in 1974. The Bourbon Pub and Parade here in New Orleans opened in 1974. So that was and that was the first gay bar I ever went to, because I went to school here in 1979, and I came out basically here in New Orleans while I was in college with my college roommate. Isn't that a cliche? The Bourbon Pub and Parade was the first bar I ever stepped into, gay bar I ever stepped into, and then 20 years later, I owned it. So that was kind of crazy. But going back to the other gay bar that I owned in Los Angeles, I became, so we started Girl Bar in 1990, quick chronologically. In 93, Scott Forbes sold the bar, and I became the general manager. And I was the general manager of the bar from 93 till 99, when I then took it over, and we did a almost $2 million renovation and made it the factory and Ultra Suede. And, you know, I had Girl Bar continued on there, as well as other, you know, other gay promotions. And then, you know, as the years went on and gay bars were not becoming quite as popular, gay kid, you know, the younger crowd were going to straight bars and whatever, you know, we had to do the same thing. We had to start bringing in other crowds, like straight, you know, straight crowds and, you know, just different demographics to keep the business going. And then I sold it in 2010. So now the building is coming down in January. So we're doing a last hurrah. I mean, it's where Girl Bar effectively started. And we had, you know, many, many years. You used to come to the factory.
I did. I've done every generation in that bar.
I know. Well, and the reason we called it the factory was because back in the 60s, the Rat Pack actually, you know, had that space. And they called it the factory.
And that's Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., that Rat Pack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, it's that building has quite the history.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's coming down. It's going to be reassembled, but it'll never be what it was.
Yeah.
It'll never be what it was. Yeah. And the reality is that young people today, I mean, this is the challenge, I think, for LGBT people is we fought for the right to equality. So now here, I mean, we're getting there. Not completely there, but we're getting there. And now a lot of young LGBT people are assimilated fully with their straight peers. Don't think twice about hanging out with their straight allies and straight friends and are very much immersed into the broader culture, which is what we were fighting for. But at the same time, they're not patronizing those unique LGBT spaces, whether it's bookstores or coffee shops or bars. And so their business model is under threat.
And conversely, I have to tell you what's interesting. Like for me, for instance, here in New Orleans, I get gaggles of straight people on the weekend. I mean, you know, and straight women who, you know, come and do their, you know, bridesmaids showers and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. And they don't mind being in a gay bar. They love being in a gay bar.
Right.
You know, where before people, you know, wouldn't step in a gay bar. And now, you know, on any given weekend, you know, I probably a third of the crowd is straight.
Wow, that's amazing. Every now and then I get the people will say, Mayor, do something about all the straight people in the gay bars. Kick them out. And my response is always the same.
Yeah.
Those who demand equality must extend it. Oh, who are you quoting? I'm quoting John Duran. I made that up. It's true. If you're going to demand equality, you got to extend it at the same time.
Yeah, put that one in the books.
It's amazing, Sandy. I mean,
So December 7th. So I hope everybody in LA, you'll come and say goodbye with us. We've got a great lineup. You know, all of our old DJs. Jeffrey Sanker is flying up from Puerto Vallarta.
I love Jeffrey.
I'm flying in from Fort Lauderdale, and we've got Chad Hudson and Manny Lehman and Kimberly S. and all the old crew. Everybody's coming back. You know, to just get together for that one last dance in the building.
And yours truly, I will be there celebrating the end
Good.
Of Factory
I'm so
Access
glad.
And Girl Bar. I'll be there celebrating with all of you. So is there a website where they can get people can get tickets?
I think Chad Hudson Events.
All right, ChadHudsonEvents.com.
Chad Hudson Events, yeah. We've got an Eventbrite where you can pick up tickets. We already we had an early bird special for a cheap price, and we sold out within 2 days.
Wow, it's
going to
be packed.
So now we've moved up to the next tier, so tickets are still available, but it's going to be an action pack. So what we're doing, too, is like what we used to do back in the factory days, is that the guys are going to be on one side, on the factory side, and Girl Bar is actually going to be doing what was, you know, Ultra Suede. And then at 12:30, 1 o'clock, we're going to open the doors. You know, there's the double doors that separate the two clubs. You've got the two separate entrances. So we're going to have the girls on one side. We're going to have the boys on the other side and you know, whoever else wants to come. And then at, 12:30, we're going to open up the double doors and everybody's just going to mix.
I can hardly wait. That's going to be phenomenal.
So it's going to be great. We're really excited.
Sandy, thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing this show. Hope to have you and Robin together on some other time. That would be fantastic.
Absolutely. We'd love to. I mean, we've got 30 years of talk. Hard to fill that in 8 minutes.
All right. See you December 7th. Gang, when we come back, we'll be talking to the MCC clergy about what to be thankful for this Thanksgiving here on Channel Q.